Yesterday we spoke about the machlokes between the Tosfos and Sukkah Daf Gimel and the Ramban in Sochem. The Tosfos and Sukkah Daf Gimel here in the on Tosfos Yud Aleph and Aleph and Brochas in the brackets on the last line in the Tosfos, they refer you to the Tosfos and Sukkah. Tosfos translate the words of the Mishnah Mekena Siso Kena Yisroeg Lakiyam the Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. What it means is that if there's a mitzvah in HaTorah, like Yeshiva B'Sukkah, in HaTorah, you're a Yotze, if you're sitting Rosh HaVeruba in the Sukkah. The Rabbanan, they said you shouldn't do that. Rabbanan told you how to fulfill the mitzvah. So if you do it the way the Torah said, and not in accordance with the Chacham said, even B'Di'evit, you're not Yotze. That was a Chiddush. So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Ishmael, who interpreted that the Beis Hillel hold that there's an Isser, that you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema B'HaTorah for some reason or another. So I was saying over the pshat from Rabbi Soloveitchik, what's the reason or another? So I was saying the reason is that you're not allowed to do something special, not allowed to do atifi, not allowed to do hatoye, not allowed to do amida, not allowed to do something special. One of the boys pointed out that the Tosfos HaRosh doesn't say like Rabbi Soloveitchik. Tosfos HaRosh says you're not allowed to do, at night you're not allowed to do hatoye, because you may wait till you'll be ready to go to sleep, and then you wait till after the Zman Kriya Shema. Okay, it's a different interpretation. What's the Issa? Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that according to Beis Hillel, the Issa the Rabbanan is on the level of the Raisa Kol Adam Kari Kedarka, means that you are permitted to. Not necessary to recite Kriya Shema in any specific position. And with the Rabbanan, Kol Adam Kari Kedarka is a requirement. You're not allowed to do it in a specific position. Even in Shacharis, there would be an Issa not to stand up. According to the Tosfos HaRosh, it's only by Ma'ariv. So whatever it is, so Rabbi Ishmael is a little unclear. Rabbi Ishmael holds it over here also. There's an Issam in the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to do Bahatoya. So if you said Kriya Shema Bahatoya, you wouldn't be Yotze at all. Lokiyamta, just like Lokiyamta Mitzvah Sukhmecha, you're not Yotze Minatoya, so you wouldn't be Yotze Kriya Shema Minatoya. And the Ramban, the Ran quotes the Ramban. The Ramban himself disagrees. He says, no, Lokiyamta Mitzvah Sukhmecha means Lokiyamta Kahogan. Ramban says like that on the Mishnah. So the Ramban says liyotzei dechayvasa means he wasn't fully yotzei. He said sipi yotzeis mitzrayim without talking about pesach matzah mar. Ramban says just like over there liyotzei dechayvasa doesn't mean literally, it means wasn't yotzei kohen. So over here also l'kiyam t'mitzvah k'meh mecha means that he's not fully yotzei. It does mean that he's not yotzei min hator. So I mentioned yesterday that there was a rush. In Arbe Psochem, so one of the boys showed me today, looked up the Rosh. The Rosh in Arbe Psochem discusses the topic in the Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes where they have to recite Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So we paskin, yes, it's required to say Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So why the Gemara asks the question, why do we say Kiddush in Shul? Nobody eats there. So the Gemara says, the Kiddush in Shul is to be Motzi the Orchem Yidei Chayvosim. Because the Orchem used to eat in the Shul, used to eat in the room next to the Shul. Tosfos has two pshat, and where did the Orchem eat? So that's Nicha Bizman HaGemara, that they used to have Orchim who used to eat in the shul. But Bizman is that nobody has any Orchim in the shul. So why do we still continue to recite Kiddush in the shul? So the Ramam in the Tshuva says, Kach Tigno Chachamim. Just like they made a Takana of Chazar HaSashatz, because there were a lot of Ein HaBikiyim, because they didn't have a sitter in the days of the Tanaim. It was forbidden. The Gemara says in the first daf in Kol Kisvei, it was forbidden to write down the Nusach HaBracha. Because the Bracha is Kisori Fe Torah. You're not allowed to write down the Torah Shabbal Peh, the text of the bracha, the text of the tefillah, is part of Torah Shabbal Peh, you're not allowed to write it down. So most of the people didn't know how to daven. So they instituted initially Chazar HaSashatz to be Moitzei the Ein HaBokeh. But B'Zman HaZeh, the Goyim allowed, Islas HaShem Efer Torah Secha, just like they allowed originally writing down the Mishnayos. And then years later they allowed writing down the Gemara. So later they allowed writing down the Siddur, and later they allowed writing down the Machzor, everything is written down. Now they allowed writing down the Art Scroll, everything is written down, Beis Yitzchok, everything is in print. So too, once they made the Takan of Chazor HaSashatz, even though the reason doesn't apply today, you still have to have Chazor HaSashatz. And once they made the Takan, they recite Kiddush and Shul, that's the question. Was there a Takan? That's that the Rambam writes in the Tshuva, if it's an authentic Tshuva. I don't know. That's a lot of the Tshuvas are Rambam a question, but whether they're authentic or not. But that's what they quote in Tshuvas HaRambam. They made a takana to recite Kiddush in Shul, so the takana is binding even if you live in a generation where nobody eats in Shul. Made a takana to have Chazor HaSashat, so it's binding even if you live in a generation where everybody's baki, everybody has a siddur, and they all know how to read Hebrew, and they can all daven on their own. So that's what the Rambam says. Why did we say Kiddush today? Because it's a takana, and a takana is binding even if you live in a generation where the reason for the takana doesn't apply. And the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, not Gemara, not Rabbi Pesachim. That's not why. They never made a takana. They say, we say Kiddush and Shul today, also to be motzi the people. Some of the people in the Shul are going to go home and go to sleep. They're not going to say Kiddush. So we want to be motzi them with the Kiddush. I bet it's not Kiddush, but Makom Suda. So he says, the whole requirement for Kiddush, Makom Suda is only with the Rabbanon, and Yotze Ben Ator with Kiddush, Shalom, and Makom Suda. So at least, they should be Yotze Kiddush, Shalom, and Makom Suda. So the Rosh disagrees with that, and he says it doesn't make any sense. He says, if you say Kiddush Makom Suda, you're not Yotze at all. So that sounds good. The Rosh was from the later Balei HaTosfos. There were a lot of Balei HaTosfos. Rashi's grandchildren started off the Tosfos, and then their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. And then they had yeshivas, and then you had the Ozarua, then you had the Maharam Rottenberg, who was a Talmud of the Ozarua, then the Rosh, and the Mordechai, and the Agos Maimoni. This was the end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos. So the Rosh usually follows Tosfos. There were yeshivas in Europe where instead of learning Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, they learned Gemara, Rashi, and the Rosh. Because now we have Tosfei HaRosh. That's very good. And even when they didn't have Tosfei HaRosh, they used to learn the Rosh, because the Rosh brings the essence of the Tosfos, that's Nagel HaLoche, and he usually quotes some of the Pilpul of the Tosfos as well. So the Pashtus usually is that the Rosh agrees with the Balei HaTosfos. If the Balei HaTosfos opinion, could be that not all the Balei HaTosfos agree with that Tosfos in Sukkot of Gimel Amud Aleph. And Keno Yisra Noig L'Kiyam Temitzu Sukkim Echa, you're not even Yotze on the level of the Reis. But if one should assume that is the sheet of the Balei HaTosfos, it could be that that's what the Rosh held also. You're not even Yotze on the level of the Reis. You're not Yotze if you say Kiddush Olam HaMakom Suda. So that's why he disagrees with the... He disagrees with this Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says he won't gain anything by reciting Kiddush and Shul on behalf of the other people who are going to go to sleep. They're not going to make Kiddush at home. They're not yet. So that's what we spoke about yesterday. Yeah. Oh, that's Akasha. Why does Rabbeinu Yonah require that they should say Kiddush and Shul to be Yotze Kiddush? Those who are going to go to sleep, aren't you Yotze Kiddush B'Tfilah? I'm not sure there is a machlekes in Tosfos Beferish where the Kiddush Alayayin is there, I say. The Kiddush Betfila is not Alayayin. So could it be Rabbeinu Yonah thinks that Kiddush Alayayin is there, I say. Tosfos in the beginning of Nazir has such a girsa in the Gemara, that the Gemara, the way the earlier Balei HaTosfos, the early Rishonim interpreted the Gemara, that a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, Pasuk and Chumash, but Yen Kiddush B'Habdallah he's allowed to drink. Yain Shal Mitzvah he's allowed to drink. So they obviously think that Kiddush Alayayin is a din derais. It's only with the Rabbanan. So how is he allowed to drink? How is he allowed to drink Yen Kiddush? So the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says that the Loshen Nozer Mishuna, Maseches Nozer, was not edited by the same, they had different committees, they edited different Masechtas. So Loshen Nozer, Nedorim and Nozer, Loshen Nedorim Mishuna, Loshen Nozer Mishuna, was edited by different Amaroim. Tmura is very Mishuna. Tomorrow is more Mishuna than the others. Not all the Masechtas have the same style. So Rabbeinu Tam says that line in the Gemara on Dav Dalet and Nozer should be read B'tmiya. You mean to say he's allowed to drink Yen Kiddush Rav Dalet? It's impossible. The early Rishonim read it B'nichusa. He's allowed to drink Yen Kiddush Rav Dalet. Rabbeinu Tam says it should be read B'tmiya. It's an awkward way of writing it. So he says Loshen Nozer Mishuna. The Loshen of the Masechta was not edited by the same people who edited Bava Kama and Gitmi Kedushim. It's a different stuff.
Maybe the
I don't know. Could be. But the Pashtus is, if you say a Nozer is allowed to drink Yen Kiddush Rav Dalet, you're assuming that Kiddush Alayayin is there. And that's what Rabbi Natam questions. He's not so convinced. Then he also disagrees. He's not so convinced that Havdalah is their Isa. Even if your Kiddush Alayayin is their Isa, the Gemara says the Nazir, the simple way of reading the Gemara Nazir Davdab, that it's Benichusa, the Gemara says, you're allowed to drink Yen Kiddush Havdalah. You're assuming that Havdalah is also Deraisa. The Rambam writes like that. Both Kiddush and Havdalah are Deraisa based on the Pasuk, Zachas Yama Shabbos Lekacho Sachre Biknisasu Ubi Tziyosai. Other Rishonim say also Havdalah is Deraisa, but they base it on a different Pasuk, Behivdat Mena Kodesh Abeina Chol. Not based on Zachas Yama Shabbos Lekacho. And the Magen Mishnah quotes, other Rishonim say Havdalah is only Derabbanan, only Kiddush is Deraisa. If one assumes that Havdalah is Deraisa, but it's based on a different Pasuk, so the Magen Mishnah says, what's the difference halacha l'maisa? If Yalt Havdalah is Deraisa, so the Rambam says, Kiddush and Havdalah both included in Zachar. Zachre b'knisasa b'tziyasa. And other Rishonim say, no, Havdalah is Deraisa based on a different Pasuk. They have Dalt ben HaKodesh, ben HaChol, ben HaTam, ben HaTam, ben HaChai, HaNachelis, ben HaChai, Shein, HaNachelis. That Pasuk. So the Magen Mishnah says, that Afkimin will be where the women are Mechuyiv. Why should women be mechuyev in Kiddush? It should be a mitzvah says that she has magrama. The Gemara raises that question over here. The Gemara here on Daf Chof on the base. The Gemara says Nashim Chayov is Omer Avada Barava. Nashim Chayov 15 lines from the top of Chof on the base. Nashim Chayov is Kiddush Ayom Dvar Torah. V'amai mitzvah says that she has magrama. V'chol mitzvah says magrama. Nashim Peturais. So Abaye says it's midirabbanan. Well, what do you mean midirabbanan? I mean the women are b'chuyim midirabbanan to shake olulam, to wear tefillin. It's not true. Mitzvah says my grandma they potem and I tell they potem midirabbanan. So why should kiddush be different? El amar raven, no. Zochah v'shama b'dibarecha nemru. So kol she'eshna m'shama yeshna b'zochah. And shama is aloy sesei. Hishama pen v'al is aloy sesei. So whenever there's aloy sesei, his rakos v'ishaliyi. So the women are muzar, not shama means to be a shama shabbos, not to do malach. So not to do malacha, that's a loy says. It's a loy says that she's my grandma, women are mechuyev. So since they were both said, b'dibur echad, I treat it like a hekesh. A hekesh means if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, you assume there's a connection. Here it's better than two dinim written, b'dibur echad nemru, mamish b'basachas, that's better than the first half of the pasuk with the second half. These are both in the same half of the pasuk. Zachu v'shama b'dibur echad nemru, mashayin ha'pe yecholu l'dabu v'lohoz in yecholu l'shmoya. So the Gemara says that women are mechuyev in Kiddush because of the hekesh of Zochah v'Shama. So that's what the Magen Mishnah has, the famous Magen Mishnah. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. If you say that Havdalah is deraisa based on the pasuk Zochah, Zochah, b'knisasa, b'tziyasa, that women are mechuyev both in Kiddush and in Havdalah. But if you say that Havdalah is deraisa based on a different pasuk, if dalt min ha'kodesh ben ha'choyel, so there is no hekesh. There is no Zochah v'Shama is only on Zochah and Kiddush. So it'll come out that women are mechuyev in Kiddush because she eshtem misham yeshtem misav. Women are mechuyev in Abdallah because Abdallah says mangram. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch, they have a meaning that the women never recite Havdalah on their own. They don't want to get involved in the machlekes. We have bottom line be paskan that women are mechuyev in Abdallah. Women are mechuyev in Abdallah. Havdalah is their ice and women are mechuyev in Abdallah. It's based on Zohar. Bottom line be paskan they're mechuyev. But lechatchil you want to avoid it. So we say, let the women always listen to a man say Havdalah. Women should avoid saying Havdalah on their own. Why can't they say Havdalah on their own? What's so bad there? Our meaning is that the women shake a lulav and they say a bracha. They sit in sukkah and they say a bracha. They listen to tekiyah shayf and they say a bracha. So what's so terrible if they want to say Havdalah? So that's famous from Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Har Tzvi quotes Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. I remember I heard, I didn't have the Har Tzvi. I heard it from Rabbi Shneur Kotler. That was the son of Rabbi Baron Kotler. Rabbi Baron Kotler married the daughter of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. So Rabbi Shneur Kotler spent time by his grandfather. He learned in Eretz Yisrael. He learned by Rabbi Zalman. So he told me over that his grandfather said, there's a problem that the Rosh in Psochem raises. When you say Kiddush, you say Bar Pagofen, then you say Kiddush, then you drink the wine. How can you drink the wine? He said Bar Pagofen, then you carry on the whole conversation. Before you drink the wine, it's a hepsik. If you're mafsik in between the shahakol and drinking the coffee, you got to say another shahakol. So you're mafsik. Sometimes you say, Yain Kiddush ner, habdolaz man, yak nahaz. You say all these brachas in between the Bar Pagofen and the drinking of the wine. What happened to the hefsek? So the Rosh says, "Kach tiknu chachamim, heim omer veheim omru." The whole institution of Birchas Hananim was instituted by the rabbis. The rabbis instituted, you say, "Brocha lakos." And the rabbis had a machlekes when you say Kiddush Avdol, they say Bar Piagofen first or Bar Piagofen last. So Bishamai say, Bar Piagofen last. We don't pass on like Bishamai. There's a Mishnah later in Brachos. We pass on like Basil. They say Bar Pi HaGofen first. Say, hey, Mom, Vehem Amro. The whole need for Birchas Hanenin is the Rabbana. The whole din of Yemapsik in between the Birchas Hanenin and Yechila. You have to repeat the Birchas Hanenin Zonim with the Rabbana. Say, hey, Mom, Vehem Amro. They said that's the correct way. They say Kiddush and Abdallah. They say Bar Pi HaGofen fine. That's what the Rosh says. Hey, Mom, Vehem Amro. So this is Bamed Dvar Mamurim. If you're mechuyev to say Kiddush and Abdallah, but if you're women, I put her from Abdallah. So then she said Bar Pi HaGofen. Then she had a whole she was mechuyev. They didn't require of the women to say Abdallah. So then the reciting of the Abdallah will be a hepsik in between the Bar Pi HaGofen and the drinking of the wine. That's Rabbi Zalman Meltzer's suggestion. The Shaloh, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shaloh that the meaning is that the women don't drink Abdallah wine. So he gives a whole reason of Pi Kabbalah. But Rabbi Zalman Meltzer gave a reason of Pi Halacha, of Pi Nigla, because since the Rosh said the whole heter to drink the wine is because kach tikno chacham heimam veheimamru, so if women, if they never made a takana for women, so then listening and answering amen, the woman's going to answer amen to amad mekadosh lachol. It's going to answer amen to bar meidim samim bar miari hoesh and amad mekadosh lachol. So if they're not mechuyev, so you can't say heimam veheimamru. It's not so mukhrach. Just like the women volunteer to say Bracha and Shofar, so if they want to volunteer to say Abdallah, why can't you say Hey Mamro? But that was his suggestion. Maybe I'll be niglet. Maybe you don't have to come on to the Kabbalistic explanation that the Shaloh gave. Magen Avraham tells you, look in the Shaloh. He gives a Kabbalah reason. So Rabbi Zalman gave a reason, I'll be niglet. I remember that's where Rabbi Shneur Kotler had a kasha. That the Nadi Behuda has a tshuva where he's not sure whether the Bicha Saracen that you say before the chasen gives the ring, the Rambam's opinion is that the Bichas Harrison is a Bichas HaMitzvah. Bottom line, we don't really pass on like the Rambam. We don't pass on as a Bichas HaMitzvah. We pass on as a Bichas HaShevach, that the whole audience, all the guests who are there at the chuppah are supposed to recite such a bracha, Shekeshan, Vitzivan, Valaraz, Asalan, Asaruzas, etc. It's a Bichas HaShevach. How do you know we paskin like that? So the Afikeyam writes in his Sefer that the Dayan in Brisk, Simcha Zelig Grieger, was a Dayan in Brisk. His son used to teach, Professor Rieger used to teach here in the college. He used to teach Tanakh. So Simcha Zelig Grieger was a Dayan by Rab Chaim in Brisk. So he said, Afikeyam quotes, he said, they used to say Birchas Erisin for absolute atheists, communists who would get married. The Rabbanim, you had to be married by a clergyman. So they would say the Birchas Harrison. The Chasen Kala didn't believe Hashem Elokeinu Kitshon Vitzivonu. They didn't believe in anything. So if the bracha is, the rabbi says the bracha on behalf of the Chasen, so it's a bracha levatala. The Chasen doesn't believe in any of the above. Doesn't believe in Kitshon Vitzivonu, Hashem Elokeinu. Melchom doesn't believe in anything. They were atheists. So he says, Rabbi Simcha Zelig said, we hold like Tosfos. We don't follow the Rambam and the Rabbi that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. We follow Tosfos Shita that it's a Birchas HaShevach, like Birchas Nisuin. The Shevet Brachas that you say under the Chuppah, that's not a Birchas HaMitzvah that belongs to the Chosen who's doing the Mitzvah. It's a Birchas HaShevach that the Ha'om HaMesasrim should say. So the Birchas Harrison is the same thing. So bottom line, we hold, Rabbi Simcha Zelig said, like Tosfos, that the Birchas Harrison is a Birchas HaShevach, that all of the misasvim, all of the guests at the wedding, are mechuyev to say. But the Rebbe Yehuda has a tshuva, the Pischa tshuva quotes it in Eben Ezra. The Rebbe Yehuda has a tshuva, he's assuming like the Rambam and the Ravid, that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. So he raises a question. The Rambam writes that there are two mitzvah, one mitzvah to get married and one mitzvah to pirei b'rivya. Women as a machlekes hatanoim and the Mishnah and Yevamos, where the women are mechuyev in pirei b'rivya. So we pask women are not mechuyev in pirei b'rivya. So what about the mitzvah to get married? That's a different pasuk. Maybe women have the mitzvah to get married. Maybe they don't have the mitzvah in pirei b'rivya. Maybe they still have the mitzvah to get married. So that's an issue with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam gives you a whole list. Which mitzvahs are the women pater from? So the different gears is there. The Rambam tells you how many mitzvahs the women are pater from. So it's a question. So apparently the correct girsa, the more correct girsa is that the women are not mechuyev in either mitzvah, not in the mitzvah of getting married and not in the mitzvah of pirei b'rivya. So the question is, but the girl is marrying the boy, so she is participating in the mitzvah. So the Nadi B'Yehuda has a suffix when you say the Birchas Harrison, if you're all like the Rambam and the Ravid, that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, and the rabbi is not saying the bracha for the whole audience, for the whole, all the guests, he's saying the bracha for the chassan. Does he only say for the chassan, or does he say, bottom line, like a woman shakes a lulav, she says a bracha, Ashkenazim say a bracha, and the woman sits in sukkah, she says a bracha, so the woman is getting married. If she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to get married. Women are potter from Piravarivya, so they're potter from Kiddushin as well. But she is getting married. So maybe the Nedibur as a Tzachim, maybe when you say the Birchas Seris, and maybe it's on behalf of the Chassan and the Kala, or maybe it's only on behalf of the Chassan, he's not sure. My Nafkamina, what's the difference? So he has the Tshuva of the Nedibur and Nafkamina, comes up, Allah HaMai says, the Chassan is deaf. So the rabbi can't say the bracha for the Chassan doesn't hear. Let's say someone is deaf, I'm going to say Kiddush for him. I already said Kiddush, I'm going to say Kiddush for him. He doesn't hear what I'm saying, so you don't apply Shamir Kaina. The deaf man has to say his own Kiddush. He can't be yotzeh with someone else's Kiddush. So what if the chassan is deaf? Can the rabbi, deaf people also have a right to get married. So the deaf man is getting married. Can the rabbi say the bracha? So the way we pass on the bracha is for the whole tzibur. It doesn't belong to the chassan or the kala. It belongs to the whole tzibur. So even if they're both deaf, often a deaf person marries a deaf person. I attended a wedding where they were both deaf. The chassan and the kala both deaf. But let's say the chassan is deaf and the kala is not deaf. So the Yehuda is working, this true, the Yehuda is working on the assumption that it's a birchas hamitzvah on behalf of the chassan. And what if the chassan is deaf? Can the rabbi recite the bracha on behalf of the kala? The pashta said that certainly not. Let's say a woman didn't hear tekiya shofar, and so I'm going to blow the shofar for her. Can I say the bracha of the shema called shofar on behalf of a woman? She's not mechuyev in the whole mitzvah. The whole idea, I can say the bracha for you, because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebizef, you're mechuyev in the mitzvah, so I'm allowed to say the bracha for you. But if the woman is not mechuyev in the mitzvah, how can I say the bracha for her? I don't know. So the Nadi Yehuda has this sofek, whether the Birchas Erisin is recited by the rabbi only on behalf of the chassan, or both on behalf of the chassan and the kala, if the chassan is deaf, and the kala can hear, can the rabbi recite the bracha on behalf of the kala? So that's what Rav Shneur Kotler raised an issue, according to his grandfather's Chiddush, that women can't drink Avdola al pi nigla, because he can't say Hey Mama Behem Amru. So if the woman heard Bar Pi Agofen, then she says Amen to Bsamim, then she says Amen to Neir, then she says Amen to Avdola. So he can't say Kach Tiknu Chachamim. So then it'll be a hefsek. So how can you give the wine to the kala to drink? She said Amen after Bar Pi Agofen, then she said Amen after Mekadosh Amisal de Chupa Vikidushin. So it's a hefsek. So according to Abdi Zalman, that Al Pi Nigla, the woman shouldn't drink the Yain Havdalah. So Al Pi Nigla, the woman shouldn't be able to drink from the Koishal Erison. If you hold that Kach Tikna Chacham doesn't apply, it's questionable. Abdi Zalman's idea, it's a chap, it's an iluyas. But the question is it correct or not? Just like women volunteer to say the bracha on lulav, and they volunteer to say the bracha on shofar, so maybe they can volunteer to say havdalah and to drink the wine. And you say kach tikna chachamim, hey mom, maybe do apply. That's all pashut what you say. The common practice is we always give the wine to the chassan and the kala. Everybody gives the wine to the chassan and the kala. So Rav Shneur Kotler had this kasha: how can the kala drink the wine? According to one side of the Nadi Yehuda's tshuva, the birchas erisin only applies to the chassan and not to the kala. Bottom line, we paskin doesn't belong to the chassan or the kala. Belongs to the whole tzibur amisasvim. Belongs to everybody. Everybody's included. Lav dafke the chassan and the kala. Okay. Yeah. So how do we get over here? Chamol. Everybody got lost. Yeah. We're talking about Avdalah. Yeah. There are three opinions. Some hold Havdalah is their Rama holds Havdalah is their eyes based on Zohar. Zohar b'knisas b'tziyosai. Magen Mishnah quotes other Rishonim say Havdalah is their eyes based on the other pasuk. V'vidalt ben haKodesh ben haChol ben haTamim ben haTor, etc. Over there, and the Nafkaminah may be whether women are mechuyev or not. And the third opinion, the Magen Mishnah quotes those who say Havdalah is their Rabbanan. Havdalah is not their eyes. Havdalah is their Rabbanan. Only Kiddush is their eyes. The Gemara's Lashon HaChof and Beis said only Kiddush is their eyes. So that was the Rabbeinu Tam's argument. The Gemara says, a Nazir, the way the earlier Rishonim, Rabbi Kleinim is, the Rishonim before the days of the Bali HaTesis, so they read the Gemara in Nazir, Davdala Raman Aleph, b'nichusa, not b'tmiya, that a nazir is permitted to drink yain kiddush v'havdalah. Rabbi Tam says something new. Havdalah is the raisa. I never heard of that. Havdalah is not the raisa. That was his taina. So Rabbi Tam said the Gemara meant, the Gemara's intention was b'tmiya. You mean to say he's allowed to drink it? Not allowed to drink it. Not allowed to drink wine. But those goyim held number one. Havdalah is deraisa. Number two, alayayin. Alakos is also deraisa. If you hold kiddush alayayin is only derabbanim, we paskin only kiddush bedvarim is deraisa. Kiddush alayayin is only derabbanim. If you hold kiddush alayayin is only derabbanim, so there's no concept at all on the level of deraisa, the brach alakos. We say bichas amosan alakos, under the chuppah we say bichas erisin, bichas tinsuin. We have a lot of brachas alakos. A lot of times we say brach alakos. So if you hold that kiddush alayin is only the rabbanon, so there's no concept on the level of the raisa at all as a brach alakos. There is no such thing. So how can a nazir be allowed to drink yain kiddush? So these goyim, these rishonim who preceded the days of the Baalei HaTos before the Rabbeinu Tam, these rishonim held that the kiddush alayin is the raisa and havdol alayin is the raisa, and the nazir is allowed to drink the yain. It's yain mitzvah. There is no din. Let's say when you make kiddush, he say, hey, whoever doesn't drink the wine is not yotzei the kiddush. No, everybody's yotzei. One person drinks the wine, everybody's yotzei. So why is the nazir allowed to drink the wine? Is yotzei the kiddush without drinking the wine? Let someone else drink the wine. So Rabbi Chana points out, it's not that the nazir is allowed to do, those goyim, those who show him all the nazir is allowed to drink the wine, not because whoever doesn't drink the wine is not yotzei kiddush. That's not wine. Yotzei kiddush, you don't drink. They hold that it's a different kind of wine. Let's say a nazir wants to drink schnapps. He's allowed to want to drink beer. He's allowed to drink. It says in Chumash, Yayim Shecher, I think in Hertz's Chumash, he translates, Yayim Shecher means wine and beer. So that's not correct. The Nazir is permitted to drink beer. Rabbi Hertz made a mistake. Yayim Shecher means, Yayim means grape juice, and Shecher means strong wine. Yayin HaMashake, but it doesn't mean beer. The Nazir is permitted to drink beer. So just like a Nazir is permitted to drink Coca-Cola, and he's permitted to drink schnapps, and he's permitted to drink beer, the only thing he's not allowed to drink is yayin. So yayin kiddush and yayin abdol is a different kind of wine. It was never included in the prohibition. Not because whoever doesn't drink the wine is not yotze. There is no such thing. Nobody holds like that. Because yayin kiddush and yayin abdol is a different thing. So that's if you hold on the level of the raisa, you need kiddush ala yayin. That's, we don't pass on like that. But there were rishonim who hold like that. That kiddush ala yayin and abdol ala yayin is their raisa.
And he makes it himself. There's nobody else. Then of course he has to drink it.
Not necessarily. The Rishonim have different versions. How much of Kiddush is deraisa? So the Magen Avraham paskins like the Rambam. The only Kiddush bedvarim is deraisa. Ala yain is the Rabban. Some Rishonim hold ala brach ala kos is deraisa, but on brach tzor sheyitam is only with the Rabban. The requirement to drink it is considered a toast, even though you don't drink it.
Under the chuppah,
yeah. Not under the chuppah. Someone drinks it, yeah.
But as long as someone drinks.
Yeah. So by brach alakos, by kiddush alakos, there are three opinions. So we paskin, the kiddush is deraisa, the whole alakos is only midrabban. The second opinion, kiddush alayayin is deraisa, but drinking is only the rabban. And the third opinion is that even kiddush alayayin and the drinking is deraisa, someone has to drink, but kiddush makam suda is only midrabban. That's only midrabban. That everybody is only midrabban. Somebody said that they looked in the Dirshu Mishnah Brura, and it says there that according to the Rosh, even Kiddush Makom Suda is also deraisa. The Pashto says that that's not right. There are three opinions. How much is deraisa? Kiddush bedvarim, or Kiddush alayayin ber hamvarach tzor sheyitam is only derabbanan, or even if you hold hamvarach tzor sheyitam is deraisa, otherwise it's not called Kiddush alayayin. Brach alakos, somebody has to drink, but Kiddush Makom Suda, that everybody agrees, that's only midrabbanan. So how do we get involved over here? Yeah, let's go back again. When we're talking about the Rosh, in the end of our Rib. So it could well be that the reason why the Rosh rejected this Rabbeinu Yonah said that the reason why he still continued to recite Kiddush Bebeis HaKnesses, he doesn't say like the Rambam, once they made a Takana, the Takana is binding, even if the reason for the Takana doesn't apply. He doesn't say that. He says, because there is still not no orchim in the shul, but there are people who are going to go home, they're just not going to say Kiddush at night. They're going to go home and go to sleep, especially in the summertime. A lot of people eat before they go to shul, then they go to shul and go to sleep. They go home, they go to sleep. They don't make kiddush, they don't eat on Friday night. It's already at 10 o'clock when they go home. So then the Yoni says, we say kiddush al hayayin and shul, so that everybody will be yotzei kiddush, because he assumes that kiddush betvila you're not yotzei kiddush. He assumes you have to have al hayayin as their eyes. The Mechaber writes that you shouldn't say kiddush and shul, because there are no orchim, so you shouldn't say kiddush and shul. The Ramos says that we don't follow like that. We do say kiddush and shul. So this is Sefer Mate Ephraim by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. Mate Ephraim writes Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and a little bit Hilchas Sukkos. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from every other page, maybe every page in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He quotes at least every page, every other page, quotes something from the Mate Ephraim. Mate Ephraim has the final say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Mate Ephraim has a long footnote. He explains what's the machlekes, the Mechaber and the Ramah, whether he say kiddush bizman hazeh or not. So he says he doesn't think, he has a harif, he doesn't think it's a machlekes. He says, the Gemara said in the end of Psochem, why do you say kiddush in shul? The motzi orchem idei chayvosam. The orchem used to eat in shul. So Tosfos says, you're allowed to eat in shul? You're not allowed to eat in shul. How could there be a mochem in the shul? So Tosfos gives two answers. So one answer is they ate in the room next to the shul. They said kiddush in shul and they ate next door. And the other answer is, the Gemara is talking b'chutz lords, and b'atikaneisiyah shabibavol al tanai heim asuyim, and there's a machlokes rishonim whether al tanai is only lachah churbanim or even b'binyanim. So the Gemara is working with the opinion you're allowed to, in b'atikaneisiyah b'chutz lords, you're allowed to eat in the shul, but in b'atikaneisiyah in Eretz Yisrael you're not allowed to eat in the shul. So that's what Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius writes. The Chava lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they never had in the first place. They never had any Yerachim in the first place eating in the shul. So there never was a takana in Eretz Yisrael to make Kiddush and shul to be motz Yerachim dechavosim. There were never any Yerachim in the shul. Because, but the Knesset Shevibavullah al Tanai, but the Knesset Shevibavullah al Tanai, but the Knesset Shevibavullah al Tanai. The Ramah lived in Poland. So the Ramah lived in Chutzlorets. And Chutzlorets, but the Knesset Shevibavullah al Tanai heim asuim. So they did have Orchim in the shul. So the Ramam says he made a takana. And once it made a takana, takana is binding given if you live in a generation where you don't have any yorchim in the shul. So that's a harifus. That's a harifus. It says, there never was a machlekes, the mechaba and the ramah, marki asreya, the mechaba lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they never had yorchim in the shul. The ramah lived in Poland. So in Chutzlot, you always used to have yorchim in the shul, because according to that, a day in Tesis. But the kneisir shebu Chutzlot, it's al tanayim asui. So once it made a takana, the takana remained. That's a fascinating harifus. Right. On the, if you assume not like the first teretz that they ate in the side room, but they rather ate in the shul, so that only works in chutzlors, and Eretz Yisrael doesn't work. So the Mechaber is saying what the Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael, they lived in Tzvat. Yeah. Okay. So we're getting back. We're learning Talmud Bavli. What are we learning? A bracha is daf yud aleph amud aleph. Nachamol. Yesterday we discussed hoisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. The Gemara says there are two psukim. Shiftucha beveisecho uvelechtucha baderech. The chob sofis b'shiftucha b'shevis didoch uvelechtucha b'leches didoch. Not from the word derech. The derech is always rishus. Sometimes derech is a mitzvah. The guy's going lahakbel penei rabba barega. So the Gemara says in Sukkah that that's oisik b'mitzvah potam and a mitzvah. Holchei drachim lidvar mitzvah. A potter minatzuka because oisik b'mitzvah potam. So you can't say derech. Derech is always rishus. Sometimes guy's going to do pidyon shvuim. He's going to learn in the yeshiva. He's going to visit the Rebbe on rego. If a person is learning Torah, let's say I'm giving a shir and I keep on giving the shir, like I mentioned, Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he had yahrzeit, he used to fast. So he used to daven for anam at shachris, and then he told the students they should have breakfast, and he's going to start mishnayos at 9 o'clock. He would start at 9 o'clock and he would go. It was the winter time, so the shkia would be something like 4:30. And he would go straight from 9 o'clock to 4, no hafsokas at all. Didn't go to the bathroom, didn't eat, didn't walk out, then kept on going. The students had finals sometimes. Dr. Belkin would walk in, and the dean of the college, Dean Bacon, would walk in sometimes. Dean Bacon's father-in-law was called Dean Bacon. He was the dean of the college here. And Dean Bacon was the dean of Stern College. His students would go in and out. There was like a train station. He just kept on. So the guys had to tell me, you got to be mopsik to daven mincha. So maybe you don't have to be maybe say Hoisik mitzvah pata menah mitzvah. The guy busy learning, doesn't have to daven mincha, just keep on learning. So that the Gemara says, it's a Babli and it's Yerushalmi. Hoisik mitzvah pata menah mitzvah applies to every other mitzvah other than Talmud Torah. You don't say Hoisik b'Talmud Torah is pata from davening mincha. Why? So the Babli doesn't, the Babli gives two psukim in Mishle. The Pasuk in Mishle speaks about the Gemara, the first perik in Ma'akot. The Gemara quotes two psukim in Mishle. One psukim are talking about the chashivas of liman hatorah. So one pasuk says, "Kol chafotzecho lo yishvu bo," all of your other needs, nothing can be compared to the significance of liman hatorah. And the other pasuk says, "Kol chafotzim lo yishvu bo," nothing in the world can be compared. So kol chafotzecho lo yishvu bo doesn't go on chepetz shemayim to do mitzvahs. Is also important. Nothing is to be compared to Talmud Torah. It means even doing mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, it seems to be a contradiction between the two psukim. A person in the middle of learning, and a mitzvah comes up. Is he mechuyev to be mafsik from learning to do the mitzvah? Because only kol chafotzecho lo yishuvah, b'chepetz shamayim are yishuvah bo, are equal, or they say no. Kol chafotzim lo yishuvah, even chepetz shamayim can't compare. So the Babli says, it depends what the nature of the mitzvah is. If it's a mitzvah, she'epshel is kaim ha'idei acherim, let's say there's a van going to take 25 people to a sheva brachas. There's only enough room for 25 people. And I want to learn. So they'll find 25 people without me. We'll find 25 volunteers. They don't need me. Unless it'll mean so much to the chassan if I come to his wedding because he learned in my class. Okay, so then the mitzvah can't be fulfilled by other people. It means more to him if I attend. But if I'm a Talmud in Yeshiva, they just need 25 bodies. Or you're going to have a demonstration in front of the United Nations or in front of the Russian embassy or something. So you have to have 500 people. So they have a whole bunch of vans. The vans will be filled up without me. So I wait. Every seat is taken. So I stay in the Yeshiva. I stay in the base manager and I learn. So that's to go to the demonstration or to go to the Shevet Brachos HaMitzvah, the Shev Shilis Kai Magdechem. You need bodies. So they're going to get enough bodies. So then you should sit and learn, you shouldn't go. But with respect to shaking lulav, with respect to davening mincha, it's a mitzvah she'ef shel eskai magdechem. You have to daven mincha yourself, you have to shake the lulav, you have to have the seder. So then the Babli says that you don't say hoisik b'mitzvah talmud Torah pata min ha-mitzvah. And Yerushalmi says the same thing, without this contradiction between the two psukim, kol chafotzecho le'yishvabo, kol chafotzim le'yishvabo. Yerushalmi just says that liman ha-Torah is supposed to be lilmad amanas l'kayim. If the guy's going to learn and learn, he's not going to daven mincha. It turns out that the liman is not amanas l'kayim, so the whole liman is worthless. The whole mitzvah of liman ha-Torah is supposed to enhance your ability to fulfill mitzvahs. It's supposed to help you observe mitzvahs in a stronger fashion. But if it doesn't help you, the guy's going to learn. He's not going to do mitzvahs. He's loy mishal amanas l'asa, so the liman is not a mitzvah. So when it comes to Talmud Torah, you don't say Hoisik b'mitzvah potam and amitzvah. But nonetheless, if he's traveling to go to the yeshiva, you mentioned the Ma'arach HaZeruah writes in his Tshuvas, the Bochum would travel to the yeshiva, so he says it would take a couple of days. They would travel to a faraway distance. He says they wouldn't daven. They wouldn't daven the whole time because Hoisik b'mitzvah potam and amitzvah. So Liman HaTorah doesn't pata from davening. But traveling to the yeshiva does pata. To learn doesn't pata you from sukkah. But to go lahakpol p'nei rabo, the Gemara says in sukkah, patas you from the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. That's a different mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to be mechabed the Rebbe. Kavod HaTorah is one mitzvah, and Talmud Torah is another mitzvah. So to visit the Rebbe on Chol HaMoed, that's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that's a mitzvah of Kavod HaTorah. And to travel to the yeshiva, that's not just a heksha mitzvah. So if the mitzvah itself, Talmud Torah, is not doesn't pata you from sukkah, so why does the hechir mitzvah of traveling to Shabbat, why does that pata you from the sukkah? Apparently, in addition to being a hechir mitzvah, you have to travel to the yeshiva to be able to learn. It's another mitzvah. So the traveling to the yeshiva pata is a different mitzvah. Talmud Torah itself does not pata from sukkah, but to travel to visit the Rebbe, you have to travel to the yeshiva. That's what the Gemara says, to travel to visit the Rebbe. And the Ma'arach HaZeruah says to travel to the yeshiva. Also patas you. The Chiddush.
But why don't you just say it's because you're osik in the mitzvah, you're not being the kind of mitzvah in traveling? The Rebbe said it's a mitzvah to travel?
apparently is an additional mitzvah. It's not just the mitzvah hachonet to Talmud Torah. If Talmud Torah doesn't pater from davening, so why does the hachonet from Talmud Torah pater from davening? So it must be that in addition to traveling to yeshiva, in addition to being a hechsher mitzvah for Talmud Torah, what he's learning is also oisik. He's learning. Why does he have to stop in order to daven? Because even though he's oisik in a mitzvah, but it doesn't, Talmud Torah doesn't pater. So why is traveling to the yeshiva? Why that does pater from mitzvahs? You have to say, in addition to being a hechsher mitzvah, it's another mitzvah. I'm not sure what the other mitzvah is, but that's what you see from the Gemara. So let's go again. So there are two psukim, shivtecha, shevaz didocha, balachtecha, balachaz didoch. And both psukim tell you the same thing. Only balachaz didoch, but Isaac mitzvah pater manamitzvah. Why do you need two psukim to tell you the same thing? The Gemara says, no, the first pasuk tells you Isaac mitzvah, pater manamitzvah, actually being Isaac in the mitzvah. The second pasuk tells you he's Torah tirded in the mitzvah. He's nervous about if he's kainetus or almana, so he should not be Torah tirded in the mitzvah. But if it's kainetus or psula, then it's going to be he's nervous. So that's also called Isaac b'mitzvah, so he's pater manamitzvah. So you need the additional pasuk to tell you that added chiddush. So yesterday we mentioned that the Maram Shik has a tshuva where he quotes the Ritva at the end of the second parak in Sukkah. The Ritva has a chiddush. Since Oisik b'mitzvah A, potam in mitzvah B, even though mitzvah B is a mitzvah iveris, and mitzvah A is not a mitzvah iveris, so why shouldn't it be mafsik for mitzvah A before mitzvah B, then go back and finish mitzvah A? So that's the halacha. Oisik b'mitzvah A is potam in mitzvah B, even though you're going to lose your opportunity to do mitzvah B. Mitzvah B is a mitzvah iveris, we don't care. Your mom is potam. So the Ritva says, therefore it's an isur to be mafsik. Because since you're potter for mitzvah B, it's treated like a dvar hashus, so to be zoyin to the mitzvah A. You're in the middle of doing mitzvah A. The guy's mafsik to go smoke a cigar, to take a break, and to do a dvar hashus. That's not permissible. You shouldn't be mafsik in the middle to do mitzvah B because you're potter for mitzvah B. It's treated like a dvar hashus. So the Maram Shik has this in the tshuva that he sent to a response that he sent to his Talmud. Mamshik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, and they lived the beginning. Chasam Sofer is the beginning of the Reform movement. And after the Chasam Sofer passed away, the Reform became worse than before. So the Mamshik and the Chasam Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer, had to wage the battle against the Reform in a much stronger fashion than the Chasam Sofer did, because the Reform movement wasn't so strong. It was just beginning during the days of the Chasam Sofer. So he had a lot of battles to fight. So the Maram Shik had a yeshiva. That was the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. He had a big yeshiva and encouraged all of his talmidim they should take a rabbanus and make a yeshiva. Every rabbi should have a yeshiva in his community. So in Hungary, that was the practice. Almost every rabbi founded a yeshiva, and the balabatim of his community supported the yeshiva. They paid for the bochum that they should have a place to sleep and eat and so on. So Maram Shik had a yeshiva. So one of his talmidim, not all the talmidim went into state and learning. Many of them went into business. One of the talmidim became a rabbi, and he was fighting reform in Hungary. And he didn't enjoy it. He was very successful at fighting reform, but he didn't enjoy it. So he was offered a position in the middle 1800s. He was offered a position of rabbanus in Eretz Yisrael, in the middle of the 1800s, over 150 years ago, he should sit and learn and pass Peshavas and give shiurim, and no more fighting reform. So he packed all his belongings and he's ready to move to Eretz Yisrael Gevaldik. He doesn't have to fight the reform anymore. So he sent a letter to his Rebbe, the Maram Shik. He wants a bracha on the move. He should be successful. So Maram Shik writes back, I can't give you a bracha, you're doing Shaloi Kedin. So he writes in the letter, when you learned in the yeshiva, we didn't have the right to force you to go into Rabbanus. Many of your classmates didn't go into Rabbanus, they went into business. But you did go into Rabbanus, and you were successful. So you're busy doing a mitzvah of fighting reform. And Oisik b'mitzvah, patam and ha-mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But you're busy doing the mitzvah of Rabbanus in Hungary. Rabbanus means fighting reform, and you're successful. So you're not allowed to be mafsik to do your potter from the second mitzvah. And the Ritva says you're not allowed to be mafsik to do mitzvah B. And then he adds on the lashon that Rav Soloveitchik used to say. Rav Soloveitchik used to say in public, yeah, there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but whoever is in the rabbinate or in chinuch in America is fighting assimilation. He didn't say we're fighting reform. He said we're fighting assimilation and intermarriage. And it's like the general and the army are like the captain of a ship. That was his lashon. That the general and the army is not allowed to leave the battlefront until he knows that all of his soldiers are taken care of, until he knows that the battle was won. And the captain of the ship, if there's a shipwreck or something, he's not allowed to leave until he knows that all the passengers are secure. Everybody was taken care of. So the rabbi is like the captain of the ship and the general in the army. So I used to laugh in my heart, my rabbi said, what do you mean captain of the ship? What general in the army? What's Hakdat Shani? That lashon is in the Maram Shik. I don't think Rabbi Soloveitchik ever heard of the Maram Shik. I'm sure he never saw the Tshuva's Maram Shik. Maybe you heard it from Rabbi Chaim Oizer. That's the Tshuva Maram Shik. Rabbi Chaim Oizer wanted to retire to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Kook corresponded with Rabbi Kook, encouraged Rabbi Chaim Oizer. He should retire. He was an old man already. He got an apartment for him in Eretz Yisrael. He was going to get a position for him. Rav Kook was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Chaim Moshe was going to be the chief rabbi of the world. He was going to be Rabban Shul Kol Bnei HaGoyla. That was going to be the title. And he had a salary for him. Someone was going to put up the money. Everything was all arranged. And then the last minute, Rav Chaim Moshe backed down. So they have the letter that he sent to Rav Kook. It's printed in his handwriting. So he wrote in the letter, I thought I can retire. I thought that I have so many other rabbanim. I'm an old man, let the others take over. The rabbanim in Vilna insisted that they still need me. They won't be able to function to the same extent if I'm going to be gone. So I have no choice. And he says, look in the Maram Shik. And he refers to this truth. The Maram Shik said that his Talmud is not allowed to go. So maybe Rav Soloveitchik heard it from Rav Chaim Moshe. He used to visit when Rav Soloveitchik was single and he lived by his parents, so he learned from his father. But then when he went to Berlin, so he wasn't with his father anymore. So his father encouraged him he should go visit Rav Chaim Moshe. So it used to be a train that went from Berlin to Vilna. So he used to go visit Rav Chaim Moshe every so often. So and then his parents and Rav Soloveitchik's parents moved to America. So it wasn't shaykh that he would see them. He used to visit Rav Chaim Moshe. He talked to him on different things, talked to him. He said it was the most frustrating thing when you would talk to Rav Chaim Oizer and learning. He had come up with the whole Chiddush. He worked till I came up with the whole Chiddush. And Rav Chaim said, yeah, it says it in this Sefer. So he said he would climb up on the ladder, pull out a Sefer. There it is. All these big Chiddushim that it took Rav Soloveitchik a whole week to figure out. Rav Chaim said, yeah, it's in this Sefer. It's in that Sefer. And the other Sefer. He said, the most frustrating thing. I worked so hard. And he said, here it is over here. So he used to talk to him about politics also, about Zionism, about founding a Medina, different things. So it could be that he heard this from Rabbi Chaim Moshe, but that's the Lashon that he used to say. That Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that Lashon. The rabbis in America who are in the rabbinate or in Chinuch are fighting assimilation, so it's like the general in the army, like the captain of the ship, and they're not allowed to leave. That's the Maram Shik says it based on He says it based on his ritva, the end of the second parak in Sukkah, that Oisik b'mitzvah, potam al mitzvah, so the second mitzvah B is considered a dvar hoshus, and you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of mitzvah A in order to perform mitzvah B. We had the Rashi on the opening Mishnah in Brochus raise the issue. If the earliest man for Kriyas Shema Shalayla is Seitz HaKuchavim, how come our practice is that we have Myra so early? So he says, Anachanami, we're not Yotze Kriyas Shema. Tosafot disagreed. Tosafot says, you are Yotze Kriyas Shema. But Rashi says, you're right, you're not Yotze Kriyas Shema. You have to be Yotze Kriyas Shema al Amita. And Rashi holds Yotze with Parsha Vishayna, even though that's all he says, Parsha Vishayna. So Poshe Pshat in the Rashi is, he's asking, our practice is that we say Kriyas Shema so early. So no, Yotze, he says, we say Kriyas Shema al Amita. So in the back of the Gemara, they quote that Rashi in the Tshuvas is quoted as having said that this was the practice Bizman HaTanoim also. That's surprising. Tosafot doesn't present it. Rashi and Tosafot, you get the impression this, the institution of davening Ma'ariv early sounds in the days of the Balei HaTosafot. That was the institution. So Rashi is quoted as having said that was a practice in the days of the Tanoim. So when the Chosen is Potam Kriyas Shema when? So we usually dab mara by the chasen's tish. We dab mara by the chasen's tish, and then you go to the chuppah if the wedding is at night. So Rashi learns in the days of the Tanaim, they dab mara early, and the chasen is going to have to say kriyashma alamito. That's right before he's going to be with his wife. So that is not, then he's nervous. Torah Teruah Dinei Mitzvah. He's just about to go to bed now. But the davening Ma'ariv 6 hours before, he's not going to be so nervous then. That's what they say. That Rashi and the Tshuva, they quote Rashi and the Tshuva writes that that practice existed already in the days of the Tanaim. Right? So the Gemara has the din of Ha'isik b'mitzvah potam in ha'mitzvah. The Gemara drew a distinction between Hakoinus as Hapsulna and Hakoinus as Ha'almana. When a person is actually Ha'isik b'mitzvah, Kaisvei Svarn Tefillin and Mezuzahs, Heimet Tagrei, Metagrei Tagreihem, Apturim Menasukir, that's actual Ha'isik b'mitzvah. Over here, the Chasan is Torah Tirda the Mitzvah. If he's Kainus as Hapsulna, he's nervous, he's Torah Tirda the Mitzvah. So that's why you need a second Pasuk. It's not actually Isaac in the mitzvah, it's in advance of the mitzvah, and he's nervous. So that you need the second pasuk that he's also potam in a mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, why? Because he's torah. So the Gemara says, Elamiyata, what if imishim tirda, afilu tobis vinasa bayam? He just finds out that he lost all of his money on the stock market. He's penniless. He lost all of his assets. And he's aggravated, and he's torrid. He doesn't know how he's going to survive. He's just lost all his money. So a guy, whoever is torrid, is potter from Kriya Shema. The Gemara says, no, let him shape up and recite the Kriya Shema. How do they know that that's so? Tavis v'nasa bayam. Chitem hachanami. Maybe Tavis v'nasa bayam is potter from Kriya Shema. The Gemara says, yeah, because he had two psukim. One is b'shevtecha, one is balechtecha. B'shevtecha didocha, balechas didoch. So the first pasuk tells you, if there would only be one pasuk, it would tell you Oisik ben mitzvah. Second pasuk tells you chosen is an extension of Oisik ben mitzvah. Or no, it's a separate din, torit. Which is it? Gemara says only torit tirda de mitzvah. If it's torit tirda de mitzvah, tovis v'nasa bayam is not potter. So the one pasuk, if you would only have one pasuk, the one pasuk would tell you actually Oisik ben mitzvah. The second pasuk tells that torit tirda de mitzvah is also called Oisik ben mitzvah. It's an extension within that din. But Tavis Manasa Bayam is not going to be potter. How does the Gemara know that it's a separate din? Maybe whenever he's torrid, he's potter. The Gemara says it can't be. Because when a relative dies, so the people who are sitting Shiva are very aggravated, usually. Sometimes. The relative died at the age of 98. Okay. So the relatives are not so aggravated. I just went to read Menachem Novel last night by somebody. He was schmoozing, telling stories the whole time. His brother died, and his brother had an arichas yamim. He had children, grandchildren, everything was fine. Okay? But let's say a person dies young, and everybody's very torah, everybody's very aggravated, at least the first couple of days of Shiva. So the din is, Ovo chai b'chol ha-mitzvah, ha-mitzvah, ba-tar, chutz menat tefillin. Sharinem ben pa'er, shenem ha-percha chabo shalecha. What is that pasuk in Yechezkel? Percha chavo shalecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yechezkel Anavi, he gives him a mara hanavua that his wife is going to die. This is all a mara hanavua. His wife didn't die. He gives him a mara hanavua, his wife is going to die, and you're going to observe abelus over your wife because you love your wife. But this vision is going to be a siman that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be Charev, going to be Charev, and the Jews will be observing Abelus over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. But it didn't happen yet. His wife didn't actually die. It was all a Mara Hanavua. And the Beis HaMikdash was not yet destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. So that's why we don't understand fully the details. That's why the Rosh Hashanah told him some laws of Abelus you should observe, and some laws of Abelus you should not observe. So he tells him, Heyonik Dom. Don't talk. So the Gemara learns that in Moikot, the third parak Moikot, Yonik Dom tells you two dinim. One din, Ovalasa B'Sheh La Shalom. He's not allowed to greet anyone. You're not allowed to greet him. He's not allowed to greet other people. And Ovalasa B'Talmud Torah. He's not allowed to talk and learning. Yonik Dom means no greetings, no She'el La Shalom, and no learning. So that he was told, yes, to observe. Then he's told, Percha Chavo Shalacha, you should wear tefillin. Another normal person does not wear tefillin when he's in Avelis. But I tell you, you have to wear tefillin. So Taisis there, in Ma'at Katan, explains why. because it didn't happen. The wife didn't happen. It was just the Mara HaNavua. The Beis HaMikdash wasn't yet destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. The Mara HaNavua, that the wife, Machmer Einecha, your beloved wife, is going to die. The whole thing was just a mashal that the Beis HaMikdash was so beloved on the Jewish people. Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, but it didn't happen yet. So that's why some dinim he was told to observe, other dinim not. We don't understand why this and why that. We don't know. But that's what it says in the Navi. That's how the Gemara interprets the Navi. Perach HaChavoy Shalecha goes on tefillin. He should wear the tefillin. And Hayonikdom, he's not allowed to greet anybody. He's not allowed to learn Torah. This mitzvah, yeah, and that mitzvah, no. Perach HaChavoy Shalecha goes on all the tefillin. Tefillin Shayad and tefillin Shavosh. That's what we assume. The Rambam quotes the Shitas HaGoinim, and the Rambam in Hilchas Tainius, when he quotes the Dinim of Tisha B'Av. So the Rambam says, V'yeshmen HaGoinim, there was a practice, or somehow he doesn't accept it, there was a practice that they wouldn't wear Tefillin Shel Rosh on Tisha B'Av. So Tosis in the third Perek Ma'ikotin has this Shaila. The Din is that Ovel Yom Rishon is more chomer than the last days of Avelus. According to the Rambam and the Rif and the Goinim and the Mechaber, Avelus Yom Rishon is a din deraisa. The Ramah doesn't paskin like that. The Ramah paskin is like the Bali Atayis. The role of Avelus is only with the Rabbanan. That's Negea to Perish Yishi. Yishe makes Mutalafonim on the first daf. That issue comes up. Whether Avelus Yom Rishon is deraisa, the Rabbanan, Machlek, the Mechaber, and the Ramah. So according to the Mechaber, who follows the Ramah and the Rif and the Goinim, Avelus Yom Rishon is Mohammed, it's deraisa. Even if you all like the Ramah, that all Avelus only the Rabbanah, but still the Gemara has the Rechumris, Avelus Yom Rishon, that don't apply to the rest of the day. So one of the differences is tefillin, that Ovel Yom Rishon is not allowed to wear tefillin. Ovel Yom Rishon is not allowed to wear tefillin. That's a Shaila. Let's say someone dies on Chol HaMoed. So you do the kvura right away, but the relatives don't begin to count Shiva. We paskin, they observe the laws of Avelus right away. They observe the laws of Avelus for 2 weeks. But it's not oiled to the Shiva until after Yontif. So the first day that he actually counts as Avelus is after Yontif is over. So is that called Ovel Yom Rishon? But he say, no, Ovel Yom Rishon was on Chol HaMoed. Maybe you shouldn't wear the tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. But the din is only Ovel Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin. So the shaila is, because Ovel Yom Rishon is Mochomer. So the shaila is on Tisha B'Av. We observe Avelus. The Beis HaMikdash were destroyed a long time ago, in the year 70. It's almost 2,000 years. So is that called Avelus Yom Rishon? So some Rishonim say, the Gemara has a Loshen in Yevamos. It's Avelus Yishana. It's an old story. It happened almost 2,000 years ago. So it's not as Chomer as if someone dies today. The other opinion in Tesis is no. Avelus of the Churban Beis HaMikdash is so chomer, you should have the status of Avelus Yom Rishon. So what's the difference? Avelus Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin. So the word Goinim, the Rama quotes the word Goinim, and Tesis quotes the word Bali HaTesis, had the practice that they wouldn't wear tefillin at all on Tisha B'Av. Our practice is we hold Mikra Adin Yimuchiv to wear tefillin, but we postpone wearing the tefillin until the afternoon. We don't wear the tefillin in the morning. And some tzaddikim have the practice that they don't like that minig, so they put on tefillin at home before they go to shul. Put on tefillin and they take over tefillin and go to shul without the tefillin. But they want to, it's vizim akdim in the mitzvahs. Why wait till after mincha? Why wait till mincha time to put on the tefillin? Put on the tefillin before. You don't wear the tefillin when you Dam shachris, that's the minig oilam, but there were a lot of tzaddikim who would put on tefillin before. So the Rambam there in Hilchas Tisha, Hilchas Tainius, when he quotes the Dinim of Tisha, he writes there was a practice when they got him not to wear tefillin shel rosh on Tisha B'Av. What is that all about? So Soloveitchik thought that it's a psanu minik. Doesn't correspond to anything in Hilchas Avelus. He thought it was based on the pasuk Bitza Imrosai. The pasuk Ganecha says Bitza Imrosai. So the Tagmokla says, Boza Pupurindile, Bitzam Rosa means that the Parechas was taken down. So we have the meaning, we take down the Parechas in Shul, because in Beis HaMikdash the Parechas was destroyed. So just like taking down the Parechas, so you don't wear Tefillin Shel Rosh, somehow. A new meaning, not to wear Tefillin Shel Rosh. But others say no. Those Goyim were of the opinion that Ovel Yom Rishon doesn't wear Tefillin, only goes on Tefillin Shel Rosh. Doesn't go on Tefillin Shel Yad. Because why doesn't the novel wear tefillin? Because tefillin is called pe'er. Which one is called bad? The Shal Rosh, Taitof is Bein Enecha. Taitof is means a Tachshit. The Shal Yad, nobody sees. You cover it over with your shirt, and even if you don't cover it over, nobody sees the Shal Yad, but Shal Rosh is exposed. V'ro Kalami Ha'aretz, we had the Gemara before, V'ro Kalamas, G'shem Hashem Nikra Lech, V'yor Memeko, Eilat Tfilin Sheberosh. Where do we have it? On Davov. Eilat Tfilin Sheberosh, the Gemara said, Davov Amir Aleph. Why? Because Shal Rosh is exposed, everybody sees it. So there was such an opinion that Avol Yom Rishon Ein Minich Tefillin only goes on Shal Rosh. So that's probably what the Rama, the Poshim Shad on. Doesn't mean that it's a new minik. Rav Soloveitchik wasn't aware that there was such a shita that Avelus Yom Rishon just don't wear Shal Rosh. He thought the Rama was quoting a new minik, not to wear Shal Rosh on Tisha B'Av. But the Poshim Shad is those Goyim felt two premises. Number one, Tisha B'Av is so chamur, it's like Avelus Yom Rishon. Number two, Avol Yom Rishon only doesn't wear Shal Rosh. Shal Yari does wear. Shal Rosh is called Pe'er. So the Gemara says, Yecheskel HaNavi was told, even on the Mara HaNevuah, his wife is going to die, and he's Heyonik Dom, he's not going to learn, he's not going to greet any people, they're not going to greet Pe'er, not going to greet him, over the Zasa B'Shev HaShalm, over Zasa B'Talmud Torah, but since the whole thing is just a make-believe, it's a dry run. The Beis Hamikdash isn't yet destroyed, just a Mara HaNevuah. What's going to be? So he should wear tefillin. Perchen Chavosh Alach, he should wear tefillin. So you see that the Oval is aggravated, but he says Kriyashma. So that's the Gemara's Taina. Why does he say Kriyashma? But he's Torut. He's all aggravated over the death of his relative. He's Chayv in all the mitzvahs, except for tefillin. Or he's except for tefillin Sharosh, one or the other. So the Gemara answers, no. Hosam. By the chosen whose kindness is hapsula, so the bir ishaina is considered a mitzvah. That's called bias mitzvah. That's the question. Why is it called bias mitzvah? Why is bir ishaina called the bias mitzvah? Taisa says in the beginning, Ksuvus talks about it. Why is bir ishaina called the bias mitzvah? When a couple is married, so this is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Sher ksuv soven also la yigra. Oina means he has to give his wife tashma shamita. On a regular basis, once a week, once a month, depending how hard he works for a living, once a day, depending what he does for a living, he's b'chayv in tashma shamita. So why is bir ishaina different from everything else that you call the bir ishaina the bias mitzvah? That's a question. So Taisus has a suggestion there in the first parak in Ksubis. So the Gemara says, Hasam on the chasen is kindness is hapsula toritir dina mitzvah. He's going to do the bias mitzvah and he's nervous about it. And we can't blame him that he's nervous. Abahacha, by the oval, Torah tirded the rishus. Here he's all aggravated, and he can't concentrate on kriyashma, so that's called tirded the rishus. Why is it a tirded the rishus? So Rashi writes, I think in Sukkah, Rashi writes a strange lashon. Rashi writes, the halacha requires that he's not allowed to wear shoes, and he's also berchitza, and mitash b'shamita, the particular things, but he doesn't have to be aggravated. So Rav Soloveitchik was very bothered with that because he was always in the practice of saying that there are certain mitzvahs where there's a maisa mitzvah, but it's a kiyum shebaleif, like simchas yontav. You have to have basav yayin. That's the whole story. You have basav yayin. No, basav yayin has to be a kiyum shebaleif. It has to be in a happy mood. And avelus there are maisa hamitzvah. The person is also be rechitza v'sicha tashem shamita. Nilas Hasandal, all the different things, but it's a kim shabalek. He's supposed to feel bad over the death of the relative. Otherwise, why did the Gemara say that Simchas Yontem and Avelus is a tarta disasri? A lot of people come home today. A lot of people come home, the first thing they take off their shoes. So why? On Yontem also, they take off their shoes. So why can't the Avelus? He won't have Tashma Shamita on Yontem. He won't have Tashamita. He won't bathe. And he'll observe that Avelus and observe Simchas Yontem. Why is there a stira? The Oval is allowed to eat Basav Yayin. So why is there a stira? The answer is it's a stira because Simchas Yontem is a kim shebalev and Avelus is a kim shebalev. So what attitude is he supposed to have? What is he supposed to feel? What are his emotions supposed to be? So how does Rashi write over there? He's translating the words. By the Avelus, by the Chosn, it's stira to the mitzvah. He's nervous about the Bias mitzvah, so that's legitimate. That's the Haskola. He's Oisik the mitzvah. Isaac ben Mitzvah. The two dinim, this shiftecha, belechtecha, the second din is an extension of the first din. It's not a separate din, whoever's Torah. then Torah tir the Rishus should also be potter. It's an extension of the din of Oisik the mitzvah. Not only if he's actually Oisik in the mitzvah, even if he's Torah tir the mitzvah to lead up to the mitzvah, it's also extension. It's called Oisik the mitzvah. Abahacha by the Avol Torah tir the Rishus. Why is it a tir the Rishus? It's supposed to be a kim shabalai. It's supposed to feel bad over the death of the relative. The observation was surprised with that Rashi. So he thought that probably what Rashi means is the following. Supposed to feel bad, correct, supposed to feel bad over the death of the relative, but not to feel bad to the extent that it takes away from your ability to observe mitzvahs and ma'asim tov. You have to lay Kriya Shema, you have to daven. So that aspect is so aggravated, he can't concentrate on Kriya Shema, he can't concentrate on tefillah. That's not part of the Kiyam Shabbalev. Kiyam Shabbalev, you have to feel bad over the death of the relative, but not that it should satumal him and sedere him so much that should affect his ability. By the chasen, Torah tir did a mitzvah. That's considered the haschala of the mitzvah, the rishonim. That's legitimate. That's considered part of the mitzvah. But by the avel, even though by us it's such a tragedy, a young person dies, such a tragedy, we're all shaken up by it, we shouldn't be shaken up to the extent that it affects our ability to observe the mitzvah, Kriya Shema and Shema Nesra. So the Amar holds that that's a tir did rishus, like Tobisir Nasa Bayam is a tir did rishus. Nothing to do with a mitzvah. So Avelus is a mitzvah, kim shabalev, to feel bad over the death. But the aggravation to the extent that it takes away from his ability to be mechaven, that part is a tirda de rishus. Surprising. The line is very surprising in the Gemara. So that's what the Gemara says. The two dinim, the second din, chasen patam mikriyashma, is an extension of the first din. Not a separate din. Whoever is tarbid is patam. Then even Torah tirda de rishus would also be patam. Very good. Okay, Shai. The Gemara tells a story. Okay, what's the next Mishnah? B'shachem mevarach shtayim lefanav yachas le'achareha. The two brachas before Kriya Shema, one bracha, Gual Yisrael after. U'ba'erev, and by ma'erev, mevarach shtayim lefanav, u'shtayim le'achareha. Obviously, they didn't say Baruch Hashem le'olam. That clearly was introduced later. It wasn't even in the days of the Tanaim, that's for sure. It wasn't in the days of the Amoraim either. Taisis before spoke about it. Baruch Hashem Leolam was introduced after the days of the Gemara. It wasn't in the days of the Tanaim or the Amoraim. Shtayim Lachareo, by Ma'ariv, we say two brachas. You say Emes V'Emuni, you say, and you say Hashkiveinu. The Rashba here has a long, long discussion, so we'll discuss part of it now. Rashba refers you to a Gemara later. Mem Vov Amid Aleph, three lines from the bottom. Gemara quotes a Braisa, Kiditanya. There's a big fat Tosis here on the bottom of the Amma, and the same Tosis appears in Sochen Kuvah, but the same big fat Tosis. A very important topic. Kol HaBrachas Kulam, Basech behem bebarach, v'chosem behem bebarach. That's Asher Yotzah. Mem Vav Amen Aleph, the last three lines. There's a very long Rashba here, extremely long Rashba. So this is five lines. But I'm going to talk for a few hours, there's five lines in the Rashba. It has a lot of important things. So kol ha-brachas kulam pasech behem bebarach, v'chosem behem bebarach, say Asher Yotzah. Say Baruch Ato Hashem Shiyotzah, Baruch Ato Hashem Refei, kol bosom afli lasos. Other brachas, paser b'baruch v'chosim b'baruch. Chutz mi'brichas ha'peres, you say, shakon li'ebidvare, bari pri agofen, bari pri adama, bari pri yates, b'brichas ha'mitzvahs, lo niach tefillin. It's a, you only paser b'baruch. B'baruch, yeah, that it's not paser b'baruch v'chosim b'baruch. You only have a bracha. B'baruch ha'smucha l'chabato. What's an example, bracha ha'smucha l'chabato, in the Shemona Esrei. Morgan Abraham start Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Abiseinu Baruch Ato. They say Baruch Ato Hashem Morgan Abraham. They say Ata Gibor. Then you say Ata Kodesh. Then you say Ata Chayin. Then you say Hashvei Abinu. So it's a slach lonu. The first Baruch is Pesachet BeBaruch Uchasem is Baruch. Baruch Ato Hashem Morgan Abraham. And all the other 18 Baruches after the first one are Baruch Asmucha Lechavato. So they're not Pesachet BeBaruch. And then it says also, Baruch HaChreinu Shebi Kriya Shema. Emes V'yatzeb, Emes V'amuna. is not Pesachas Bebar. So are these two exceptions to the rule, or is it one exception? Birchas HaPeres is not short. It's short. So that's the whole bracha. Birchas HaMitzvahs are a short bracha. Bracha Ktzara. The Tosefta, Tosefta quotes the Tosefta. Tosefta says Birchas HaNene. Birchas HaMitzvahs are bracha Ktzara. It's one line bracha. Shine. Then bracha HaSemucha L'Chavato is a long paragraph. Emes V'yatzev, Emes V'emuno, Hashkivenu. But bracha HaSemucha L'Chavato doesn't have to be Pesachas Bebarach. And bracha achrena should be kriyash ma'am, sviyat v'em emunu, also doesn't have to be. So is that one din or two dinim, the last two? So the Rashbo on Ardaf disagrees with Rashi. He says, Rashi doesn't say what I'm saying. Rashi writes on the top of mem vav amid beis, the second line, a bracha achrena should be kriyash ma'am, sviyat v'em emunu, is a bracha smucha l'chavato. How so? Sha'afol pishe kriyash ma'am mapsik bentayim. How is it smucha l'chavata? Yotzeror baruch hashem says baruch atah shankan. Yotzeror says baruch atah. Baruch atah shem yotzer hamoris. Amar baruch atah shebedvar mariv arav says baruch atah shem. Then he says baruch atah shem amariv aravim. So the first bracha b'chus kriyishma pasach is bebaruch v'chasem is baruch. Avraham abesalam is a bracha smucha l'chavata. So it doesn't have to be pasach is bebaruch. So emes v'yatzev emes amuna hashkiven. Everything is smucha l'chavata. Everything is smucha l'chavato. What do you say? No. Hashkivenu is smucha l'chavato to emes v'emuna. Avas oilam is smucha l'chavato to amar v'arovim. But maybe emes v'yatzev emes amuna is not smucha l'chavato to the bracha before kriyashma, because the kriyashma is mapsik. So that's a machlokes Rashi and the Rashbo. So Rashi holds, Afo pishi kriyash ma mafsik bentayim, that's okay, abroch is delefanel, smucha, ba'avila smucha l'chavato. When the Brisa says, kol abrochas have to be posech b'baruch, chasem is b'baruch, except for smucha l'chavato, baruch ha'chronish ha'bi kriyash ma, baruch ha'chronish ha'bi kriyash ma is an example of smucha l'chavato. It's not a new klal. The Rashba says he doesn't think Rashi is right. The simple translation of the words, he says, is, bracha smuch l'chavata is one exception to the rule. Bracha chanesh every kriyashma is another exception to the rule. There's an interesting ritva. The ritva's name is Rabbeinu Yontef. He lived in Seville. That's his name, Rabbeinu Yontef Ashbeli. He was from Seville. So he says, his name is Yontef, and when they used to print the Ritva in Europe, they would write, when they found the manuscript, they would write, Kombok Mishadvar Magim Sasu Simcha Yontef Laihudim, because his name was Yontef. So he writes very cheerful. The Rashba writes boring style, but the Ritva is always very levitic. He always goes with Malitzis, very cheerful style. So the Ritva has, Rav Soloveitchik said over this Ritva Megillah, he liked the malitza that he has. The Ritva is bothered with Akasha. How come when you get an aliyah, you say, Avshabacha banu before Avshanasan lanu after? Why is Avshanasan lanu not considered smucha l'chavato? You start Baruch Ata Hashem. And when you say halal, or you say psukha dezim every day, you say, Yahalalucha is not pasach is bebaruch. Yishtabach is not pasach is bebaruch. We consider Yahalalucha and Yishtabach smucha l'chavato to the bracha that was before the halal, the bracha that was before psukha dezim. So Maishna, Manishtana, why is Bechas HaTorah different? Why is Bechas HaTorah not a smucha l'chavata? Baruch Shalachra, and the bracha after Havam Tzukar Zimmer is. So the Ritva writes one of his Melitzes, his cheerful Melitzes, Min b'mina eina chaytzes, min b'sheina mina chaytzes. What does he mean? He explains what he means. He says, a bracha is a shevach. Halal is a shevach, Tzukar Zimmer is a shevach. So it's shevach and shevach and shevach. So it's all smucha l'chavata. Birchas HaTorah is a Shevach, but Kriyas HaTorah is Talmud Torah. That's not Shevach. So Mim B'Shein Amin, Achaytzeitz. The Bracha Shenasan Lona can't be considered Smucha L'Chavata to the Bracha before. You are Mapsik in between with the Kriyas HaTorah, with Talmud Torah. That doesn't blend in. The Sukkah de Zimra, the Gemara calls it Halo. The Gemara says in the end of Shapsi, one of the Tanoim says, Yehechel Kim Gomri HaHalo B'Chol Yom. I hope I'll be able to say halal every day. Not allowed to say halal every day. Kolam mahal b'chol yom harez mecharef and megarev. So Gemara says what he meant was the halal of psuka de zimra. There's a halal of nisim and a halal of teva. So psuka de zimra is a halal of teva and halal of mitzvah. Besides some in mitzvah is called halal of mitzvah. That's a halal of lemaila min teva. So the Gemara says kolam mahal b'chol yom. Areza Macharif and Megarab, there goes if you say Bitsais is home in Mitzrayim, Halal Mitzri. Halal Fanisim, you shouldn't say every day. But Halal of Teva, you say every day, that's okay. So, but they're both Shevach. Psuka Zimra Shevach, it's Halal on Teva, and Halal is Shevach, Halal on Nisim. So the Brach is before and after everything is Shevach. So it's Mimbe, Minayin, Achaitzaitz. That's called a Smucha Lachavata. But Kriyas HaTorv is this Chaitzit. That's the Lashon of the Ritva. So Rashi and the Rashba have a machlokes. What's the story with Birchas Kriyashma? Emes V'yatzev, Emes V'amuna. Is it called Smucha L'chaveto? The Rashi holds Afal Pishe Kriyashma Mapsik. That's okay. Abrochas Telefanel Smucha B'havilo Smucha L'chaveto. It is Smucha L'chaveto. It's one. Why? Because the, like we said, the brochas spell out the theme of each one of the parashas of Shema. So the Kriya Shema can't be a mapsik bentayim, even though it's not Shevach, the brachas are Shevach, Kriya Shema is Psukim, but the purpose of the brachas is to explain the themes of each one, the basic three brachas, Hashkivenu is separate, okay, Gula, Richta, whatever that means, but the purpose of the brachas is to spell out the theme of the parashas, so that you can't say that the parashas in between are mapsik. That's what Rashi says, and the Rashba disagrees, says no. Bracha smucha l'chavato, Abba Rabba Abba Sodom is smucha l'chavato, so it's not pasachas b'baruch. Emes v'yatzim, emes amun, it's a nukal. Bracha erchonin shabi kriyashma is not called smucha l'chavato. So this is a very fascinating machlokes harishonim, yes?
Rashi says the same thing for Yad Lucha. He also says it all the time. It's not why he thinks every book Yashra and smucha l'chavato.
That what?
Rashba doesn't disagree with Rashi because he doesn't hold on this idea of
yeah.
He only says it because we say
in
the
Brachot.
Why is it
in the Brachot?
And
yeah. Since
it can happen separately.
Okay, we have to figure out why the Rashba disagrees because he holds that the Loshana Brisa reads like that.
Also.
He says it sounds like two different things. Okay, good. Okay.
Rashi was saying that that's Rashi's reading.
It's
his also.
Okay. We'll have to see. There's a lot in the Rashba. We'll have to see. I'm not talking about that yet now. Yeah.
According to Rebbe's reading, so isn't the should Rashba say that the concept of Brachas Kriyashma were part of Kriyashma and not separate?
Shouldn't Rashi say what?
Rebbe said the Rashba says that the Brachas are not with the Kriyashma. They're separate. That the Emes Emunah is separate than Kriyashma itself. It's a separate Bracha than the first two.
Yeah.
But
Rebbe
was saying, Rashi, all three brachos are together as a unitary
creation. Rashi also can't say that it's mapsik because the purpose of the Birchas Kriyashma to spell out the themes of the three parashas, like the Rashba himself wrote. So therefore, he holds that it's called the smucha l'chavata. The Rashba disagrees. We'll have to figure out why. I didn't give any reason. We'll have to read. It's a long Rashba. We'll have to see. So according to the Rashba, the two brachas before Kriyashma, that's finished that unit. What is it called? Bracha smucha l'chavato. So the Tesis here, a member of Aleph, Tesis raises an issue. When you say Tfilas Aderech, you start Yirasim Lefanecha. You don't say Baruch Ata Hashem. You end up Baruch Ata Hashem Shemei Tfilah. So it's Misayem is Bibaruch. But the rule was Kol HaBruchas has to be Pasech Bibaruch V'Chayisim Bibaruch. How come Tfilas Aderech is not Pasech Bibaruch? So Tesis works on the Kash. So it's famous, the Maharam Rutenberg had an Eitzah. You should eat something, or go to the bathroom before you go on the trip, and then say Ashe Yotzah, say Bar Nefashas, say a Brocha, and then say Tfilas Adarch, make it into a Smucha L'chavata. So the other Rishayim don't agree with that. They hold that that's a joke. Smucha L'chavata is if Kach Tikno Chachamim, that is one unit. The 19 Brochas of the Shemoneh Esrei, Kach Tikno Chachamim. Let's say the brachas under the chuppah. So it's tosses amech de samach. That's smucha l'chavato because tiknu kach tiknu. But whatever misakin that bar nefashos has to come right before tefilas aderech, Ashi Yotze comes before tefilas aderech, it's not. So they all disagree with him. So let's concentrate over here. So according to the Rashba, the two brachas before Kriyashma, that's the end of that unit. then Emes V'Emunah, Emes V'Yatziv starts a new unit. So there is a Gemara later in Shlosh Shachlu where the Gemara says, if a person, let's say, says Asher Yotzer, then he says Barefik Kol Basam Aflila, says, then he says Amen. The Gemara says no, you don't say Amen after your own bracha. The exception to the rule is when you recite Birchas Hamazon. So you say Bein Rachma B'Yushalayim Amen. So why is that an exception to the rule? Why do you say Amen after Bein Rachma B'Yushalayim Amen? Whatever nusach you say. So there's a machlekes a rishonim there, why? So the Ashkenazi rishonim learn, because that's the end of the Birchas Hamazon deraisa. Teiv Ameitiv, after Baruch Mishalayim Amein, that's only Medirabbanon. And we wanted to announce that the Birchas Hamazon deraisa is over. Why do you have to announce Birchas Hamazon deraisa is over? So the Gemara says that because Atev Ameitiv is Lav deraisa, so the Poyalim who are hired by the Balabas are not allowed to be Mevatal Zman. So they have to leave after they say Baruch Mishalayim Amein. That means that they should go back to work. They shouldn't be Mevatal. Apparently they used to daven slowly, used to bench slowly, so it's going to take another 10 minutes till they say Bayaz. It takes, the whole thing takes a half a minute. The whole benching takes a half a minute. Take another second. So apparently they used to daven slowly, the way you're supposed to, and it's going to be a bitbul malacha from the Balabas. So that's what Rashi and Tosis learned, that you only say Amen. And that's the only case where you say Amen after your Ambruch. And the Rambam follows the tradition of the Chachmei Svarad, that's not the reason why. Because that's the end of a series of brachas. He said, Azana Sakol, and Aloha Tzvad Amazin. Bein Rachmei Mishalayim Amen is a series of brachas. So, and Atev Ameitev is after the benching is over. Even Midir Rabbanan is not part of the benching. The benching is over, Minatora and Midir Rabbanan, Bein Rachmei Mishalayim Amen. Atev Ameitev is a bracha that's recited after the conclusion of the benching. It's not that even Midir Rabbanan is not part of the benching. So whenever whenever you recite a series of brachas, when you get to the end, you say Amen after your own bracha. So let's say the Sfardim, when they daven Ma'ariv, so they would say at the end of Hashkivenu, Shema Yisrael Ad, Amen. Our first Sukkah Shalom, you say Amen. Why? Because he said Emes V'Emunah, then you say Hashkivenu. So that's a series of brachas, so you say Amen. So how come they don't say Amen after Abacha Bayim Yisrael B'Yavo? They say the first two brachas before Kriyashma. How come they don't say Amen? So according to Rashi, the Kasha doesn't get off the ground. Rashi said, you didn't finish the series of brachas yet. Emes V'Yatziv, Emes V'Emunah is a hemshech of the series. The two brachas before Kriyashma, and you continue after. Rashi holds not a problem bichlal, because Rashi holds the only reason why you say Amen is because we want the poilim to go back to work. But the answer that Rashi gives will answer the question, even if you all like the Chachmei Svarad, will also be a good answer. But if you all like the Rashba, then Emes V'Yatziv, Emes V'Emunah is a new unit. It's not Smuch HaLechavetot to the brachas before. So how come they don't say Amen after Abacha Bayim Yisrael B'Yavo? So the Rishonim say why? Because, let's say, a person is about to perform a mitzvah. And he puts on the tefillin. So if he's going to say Amen after, you don't say Amen after your own bracha. If he would have said Amen, it would have been an additional problem. He was mafsik in between the birchas hamitzvah and the mitzvah. Not only is it not right to say Amen after your own bracha, but it'll be a hefsik. That's what the Rishonim said. It'll be a hefsik in between the birchas hamitzvah and the mitzvah. So I think the Rambam writes like this. You don't say Amen after Abach Mayim Yisrael B'Avo, because Avarabba Abasaylam, which is the bracha that precedes immediately, right before Kriyashma, is the Bichas HaMitzvah on the Kriyashma. That's why you're not allowed to answer Amen. According to Rashi, there's no question. You're not finished with the series of brachas. Emes V'Yatziv, Emes V'Emunah is the Hemshech. Why don't you say Amen after Goal Yisrael and Shachris? So according to Rashi, why don't you say Amen after Goal Yisrael? So the Rashi, the Shita said, there's no problem. You only say Amen by benching, for the Poilim will know. You never say amen after a series of brachas. But if the Rishonim hold, cross the lines over here, the Rishonim hold like Rashi, that emes v'yatziv is a hemshech of the two birchas kriyasha from before. So why don't you say amen after Gaul Yisrael? According to the Rashba, there is no series of, it's only emes v'yatziv, it stands alone, it's only one brach. By my rev, you have two brachas. You have Emes Remun and you have Hashkimenu. So they say Shammai Yisrael Lo'ad, Amen. Shachos, you only have one brach. But according to Rashi, Emes V'yatziv is a hemshach from the two brachas before. How come nobody says Amen after Gaul Yisrael? So the Rishonim say, no, that's Smichas Gula L'Tfilah. You really ought to say Amen, because that's the end of the series of the three brachas of Kriyat Shema and Shachos. But it'll be a violation of Smichas Gula L'Tfilah. So that's what I think the Rambam, I have to take a look. The Rambam, I think, says, you really should have said Amen after Shamamis, after Abacha Baim Yisrael B'Ahavo, because that's the end of the series of brachas. Because Emes V'yatziv, Emes Amunah, that's a different series, like the Rashba. But the reason why you don't say Amen is because Abba Rabba, Abba Salam is considered the Birchas HaMitzvah over Kriyashma. So just like you don't say Amen after Gaul Yisrael, because it'll be a violation of Smichas Gula L'Tfilah, so you can't say Amen in between Abba Rabba, Abba Salam and the Kriyashma, because that'll be a hefsik between the Birchas HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah. So this was a big machloikas. Is that so? Abba Rabba, Abba Salam is a Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriyashma. Every mitzvah has a Birchas HaMitzvah. There are some mitzvahs where we don't recite. We said over the Nesivis and the Hagdama to his Haggadah. So he posed the question, when you say Kiddush, it's a mitzvah deraisa. Why don't you say a bracha before you say Kiddush? Because Hamazon is a mitzvah deraisa. V'chalta v'savata v'erachta. Why don't you say Hashem Kedushan v'chatzvanu l'vorach al Hamazon and then say Birchas Hamazon? Say Shahakal before you drink a cup of tea. So say Hashem Kedushan v'chatzvanu l'vorach al Mashkim and then say Shahakal. Why don't you say there are mitzvahs that you don't say a bracha? He's speaking Hakdama to the Haggadah. He's speaking about the mitzvah of Sipit Siyas Mitzrayim al Pesach. So he quotes the Rishonim, raised an issue, how come there's no Birchas HaMitzvah over the mitzvah of Sipit Siyas Mitzrayim? So he gives the answer, he gives one answer on everything. He says, whenever the Chachamim were misaken to fulfill a mitzvah in a form of a bracha, like Kiddush. Kiddush is fulfilled by Birchas HaMazon, is in the form of brachas. Or Sha'akol Birchas HaNenen, is in the form of brachas. So whenever they were never misaken to recite an additional Birchas HaMitzvah in advance. So he says on Pesach night, Sipit Siyas Mitzrayim is being fulfilled within the framework of four brachas. We say, framework of four brachas alakos. We say Kiddush alayayin, Asher Gyalono alakos, Birchas HaMazon alakos, and Birchas Hashir alakos. And then in between we say over the story of Avadim Hayinu and so on. So since the mitzvah is fulfilled not necessarily in the form of a bracha, but within the framework of brachas, so also lo tikna chachamim a bracha. That's what the Netziv writes also in the Meroi Mesode. He says, Mikra din, you don't have to recite the bracha before duchening. Because duchening, kach tiknacham, to have duchening in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. So since you do the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, it's in the middle of a framework, a bracha, so you don't require a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Gemara says this was a Midas Chassidus, that one of the Tanaim, they asked him about Meharachta Yomim, what Midas Chassidus do you attribute this to? That he lived so long, he says, he's a Kohen and he always would duchen, he would always say a bracha before he duchen. So the Rishonim ask, what's the Chiddush? What's the Midas Chassidus? That's the din. Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam Marach Aleim, why is that a Midas Chassidus? So we spoke about it now. So the Meiri says, even when he would duchen a second time on the same day, for another minyan, and he's not b'chuyiv min ha-tarim, the Rabban is not b'chuyiv at all. Still, when he would duchen for the second minyan, he would also say Birchas HaMitzvah. And that's a machlok zachrein, whether you do that or not. So the Meiri interprets in the Gemara, that was his Midas Chassidus. So the Netziv and the Meroi Mesada, the Shurim that he gave in Balozhin, so he writes, he thinks Mikra din, you don't say a bracha on duchening, because duchening is fulfilled within the Chazaras HaShatz, within the framework of brachas, so they would never misaken an additional bracha. So what did he say a bracha for? So it should be a bracha matola. He says, no, that's based on a Zohar, that whenever you're about to give a bracha to a bas of Adam, the Acheretz dictates you should introduce the bracha by giving first a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then give a bracha to the bas of Adam. So that's what the Acharonim say, that on Erev Yom Kippur, when the parents give a bracha to the children, on Leil Shabbos, many Balabatim have a minig, many communities have a minig that they give a bracha to the children, the grandchildren. On Leil Shabbos, so they should first say a bracha, Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen. They should give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch. So this Tana said this, as not as a birchas hamitzvah, shekadoshana b'kedushah shalav tzivanu l'barchas hamitzvah b'yavar, he didn't say b'toras birchas hamitzvah. He said b'toras to give a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before he gives the bracha to Abbas of Adam. That's a problematic shtikol Torah, because he said it as a bracha. Shekadoshana b'kedushah shalav, so it should be a bracha l'batala. If he would say Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, Baruch Hashem Yitzchel Shechen Yishlaim, something like that, okay. They said a pasuk, but to say a whole bracha isn't that what's not permissible? That's problematic. So this is this Rashba on our daf. This is just five lines in the middle of Rashba. He has a long arichas, and I'll have to get to the other parts of it. But part of the long arichas is this: why do emes v'yatzav emes amuna not begin with baruch? So he says Rashi learns that it's a memvav. It's the same reason as bracha smucha l'chavato. That Emes V'yatzav Em Amunah is also an example of Smucha L'chavato, and the Kriya Shema in the middle is not considered a Hefsek. And the Rashba disagrees. He thinks that that's the two different dinim. One is Bracha Smucha L'chavato, that's Birchas Hamazon, and under the Chuppah the Brachas, and Shemone Esrei, that's Bracha Smucha L'chavato, a series, Kach Tiknu. But he says, Emes V'yatzav Em Amunah is not a Bracha Smucha L'chavato. The first two, before Kriya Shema, that's one unit. Emes V'yatzav is a different unit. It's not Smucha L'chavato. It's a different halacha. Chutz mi bracha achronah shebi Kriya Shema. That it's not Smucha L'chavato. So that's the shaila if it's a separate unit. So why don't you say Amen, according to the Chaf Misvar, that you say Amen whenever you complete a series of brachas? Why not say Amen when you say Abrecha Ma'am Yisrael B'Yahavo? You just completed the series of brachas. So that's a major machlokes. We mentioned when the Ramban passed away, so the Talmidei HaRamban, in after a while, it turned out the Rashba took over. Rashba started the yeshiva, and he was teaching Torah. But many of their classmates of the Rashba didn't want to learn by the Rashba. So they thought the grass is greener on the other side. So they went to Provence. Ramban lived in Spain. So they went to southern France and in Provence to learn by the Chachmei Provence. So they were learning there. That's where the Meiri lived. They were learning there. The Ravid came from Provence, the Balamor, the Balo Eshkol. So they were learning there, and it caused a lot of friction because they had different minhagim from Spain, and in Provence they had different minhagim. So the Meiri wrote a whole sefer, it's called Mogen Obis, to defend Minhag Avosov from the attacks that the Talmidei HaRamban gave. So one of the 24 essays, he has 24 mamorim, and the Mogen Obis, one of the essays is about this, but it makes sense to say Ken Melech Neman before he said Kriyash Mas. He has this fundamental machloikis where the Abba Rabba Abba Sodom is a bichas hamitzvah on the Kriya Shema. So you're not allowed to be mopsik anything. You don't even say Amen. You should have said Amen because the series of brachas is over. Emes V'yatzav Emes Amunah is separate. You really should have said Amen. But you're not allowed to be mopsik at all because it's a Birchas HaMitzvah for the Kriya Shema. And the others hold, what went Birchas HaMitzvah? It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Gemara says at the end of the first parak in brachas, if one didn't say Birchas HaTorah yet, he says, Abba Rabba, Abba Soilam. Gemara says an Abba Rabba, we assume Abba Solom the same, so he's Yotze Birchas HaTorah with that. If Shon al Asar, if he learns after davening right away, then Abba Rabba, Abba Solom can count as a Birchas HaTorah. But to say that Abba Rabba, Abba Solom is a Birchas HaMitzvah, Kriya Shema, it's not true. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. That's a big fundamental machlokes. I have a whole bunch of things that are interconnected here. Okay, we'll have to continue next week. Okay. We left out the bulk of the Rashba, we just did five lines. Good.
Rabbi, the Gemara says that Yechezkel's wife didn't actually die.
I think Tosis said. I think the whole thing was just the Mara Hanabu. I think so.
Can you say Amen during benching? I don't mean after Bnei Yerushalayim. I mean, you know, in between, like let's say after Alar Shalom. So is that not a hefsek? Can we respond to the person leading the benching?
Meikar Adin, he's supposed to bench the mezuzah, but we're supposed to listen. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that we find it difficult to concentrate on when someone else is talking. So the Mechaber recommends we should say softly, under our breaths we should say along. But the Yikar Birchas HaMazon, we should answer Amen. From the Rambam, I think we spoke on, from the Rambam is Mashma, perhaps, that by Chazoras HaShatz and by Bench HaMezumen, Amen is Li'ikuvah. If someone says Kiddush and Abdullah and I want to be Yitzay, so the Gemara says Amen. If I didn't say Amen, Shamea Ki'ayna. And Kala Ayna Amen Kila Hatzi Bracha Mepiv Dami, so it's good. But by Chazoras HaShatz and Birchas HaMazon, the Mezumen, for the Rambam, there's a bit of a mashmas that Anios Amen is Li'ikuvah. So you really should answer Amen. But if it's not the Mezumen, someone else is saying benching, and not the Mezamen, then it is a Hefsik, and not allowed to be Mafsik. Same Shulchan Aruch, that in between the Brachas of the Kriya Shema has a din like in between the Brachas of the Shemona Esri. It's not like Brachas Kriya Shema, that Ben HaProchim is allowed to be Mafsik, Nefnei HaKovid, Nefnei HaYira. You're not allowed to be Mafsik. Brachas HaMazon is the same din like the Shemona Esri. Not supposed to be Mafsik at all. But to say Amen to the Mezamen, that's if he's saying the whole bracha out loud. A lot of times he doesn't say the bracha out loud, so that's very questionable. Agud m'shabbos yuto, agud m'shabbos.
So if someone's being, if we're doing Shemaya Kahuna, let's say for the person, the Baal Tokeya, if he's saying, l'shmo kol shofar, so we say Amen to that because we're being yotzei our bracha through him, but that Amen does not count as a hefsek for between the bracha and the mitzvah. Meaning, what is the status of that Amen?
Whenever you want to be Yotzi Kiddush and Abdullah, so you're supposed to say Amen, so then it's considered as if you said it. Then the Gemara has a Kiddush, Shamea Ki'ayna. If you paid attention, even if you didn't say Amen, it's considered as if you did say Amen. If Kala and Amen, Ki Yotzi Bracha Mepiv, you're also Yotzi. But more correct is that you should say Amen.
Why is it more correct to say Amen in light of that Kiddush in the Gemara?
Kach Tikna Chachamim. That whenever you want to be yotzei with someone else's bracha, more correct is to say amen. But we say it's not miyakeh b'diavad.
Okay, thank you.
I want the bracha to relate to me, so I say amen. Gamani maskim.
How does the Dagal Nirvava that we learned about play into this whole conversation about how he says a lot of these things aren't hefsiks? Like he said, I think by Az Yashir, that the Rambam says that you could say it after Yishtabach. He says it's not a hefsik because it's just like night, it's Shevach, whatever it is. And that we said also by the Ravid, I think it was the Ravid, it says that you could say Amini Heshmei Rabbah in between the Shal Yad and Shal Rosh Bracha. So like, was it
the Ravid shine him a hole like that.
Yeah, so
like, we don't pass like that.
Oh, yeah. We don't pass like that at all.
No, only Heshmei
Rabbah. No, that obvious in between, yeah. But in terms of certain things not being a Hefsik because it's a Dvarim Shebagusha, is it playing to this Machlok SOV here, like Kel Me'achna, not Dvarim Shebagusha, but like Hebrew, whatever, like Kel Me'achna Amon, like stuff like that it's not really a Hefsik?
I don't think so. Kemal Chnama is up this new story, why they introduced it.
Okay.
They want to be Mashlem, the Ramach words, and the Kriya Shema said missing three words. Yeah. Oh, you want to say Amen. Some say you really ought to say Amen after Baruch Ma'am Yisrael B'Yahavu. So instead of saying Amen, everyone should say Kemal Chnama. It's a Rosh HaTevis Amen. Say Oina Amen after your own bracha because he said a series of brachas. Should always say Kemal Chnama.
Is that why I noticed that during Maariv, a lot of people try to be mashlim with the chazan, to say the bracha with the chazan, kind of like the advice is to do by shacharis. Is that
right?
Why people do that?
The Mishnah Brura says like that you should finish with the chazan, abracha misal biyavo, so you won't get involved in the machlokes. Yeah, but in the Lithuanian yeshivas in Europe, that was not the practice. They describe that they had 400 people screamed out, Amen, the people who first came to the yeshiva. There was a guy went from London, a learned guy went from Paris, so they printed their memoirs. So they wrote, they never heard it, they never saw this before. They thought the whole building was going to collapse. The first time they came to Davin, 400 people screamed out, Amen. They thought the world, the building was collapsing. And then they all screamed out, Shema Yisrael, all together. So the meaning was not like the Mishnah Brura, that they did say Amen after Baruch Ha'am Yisrael B'Yahavo.
Which is more appropriate to do?
I think Rabbi Zalvetri once recommended you should finish with the chazan, not only Bachar Yisrael B'Yavo, the first Amar Rav also, and Yetzer Hamara is also, you should always try, that's what he said, you should always try to avoid saying Amen, because it's really a hapsik. There's a kula that it says V'dibarta bam. So the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional 11th interpretation. You should talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. V'dibarta bam. What are you going to talk? You should answer M'pnei HaKavod, M'pnei HaYira. So if someone greets you, say, good Shabbos. But you should try to avoid that. We don't say good Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah, everybody knows we can't talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. So you should try to avoid any hepsics. So Leishik said, not just between Abechah, Amisol, Biyavah, and Kriya Shema. The first brach also, Yetzamar. So you should try to avoid saying Amen by that also. Most people don't do that. They're only worried about Abba Rabba, Abba Solom, because of these Rishonim say that that's the Bichas HaMitzvah and the Kriya Shema, and Amen is a hepsic between the Bichas HaMitzvah. Not like Rav Soloveitchik, you should always avoid any hepsic. Different practices.
With regards to Kiddushin, in front of women, isn't there...